you will, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, one verse of scripture I want to read to you this morning before I start. It's verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. The Bible says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for healing us. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sin, that we might have life. God, I pray this morning that you'll open up these scriptures to us. Speak to our heart, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You did run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Here's a picture, and Paul so many times describes life as a game, a race here. Many times he talks about, well, lifting weights. He talks about different things, a fight. We stand firm and fight the fight of faith. Here he talks about a race, and when he talks about a race, I always go back to the Olympics. I love the Olympics. They could have Olympics, far as I'm concerned, every day. I just like to watch the athletes, the best athletes in the world, compete. I like track and field. I like the discus throw. I like just about all of it. I just didn't watch good people get out there and work hard and run a race. Well, here is a runner running a race, he says here. Now, the question is one that not only is asked to the Galatians, but it kind of leaps through time and challenges each one of us this morning how we are to run our race. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Put on your thinking caps, and I believe that you'll see that this is a personal run race. Look at that little word, ye. Ye. Or in the New King James, you. I like that old King James version. It speaks where you have to kind of twist your mouth around a little bit. But it says, ye did run well. So there's something very personable about this race of life. It's made up of individuals, isn't it? The race is made up of individuals, everybody competing. As believers, we run in God's heavenly race. I love that passage of scripture over in Hebrews where it says, "Wherefore we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Man, I can put myself in that big old arena and I can look up and I see that all around me is that great cloud of witnesses as I run the race. It's, you know what? I'm on God's heavenly track team. Man, I can't run anymore down here. I used to could run like a jackrabbit, they used to say. But I can't run anymore. I'm out of breath. I can't even jump anymore. I could jump across a creek. I can't even jump across a little bitty thing now. I found that out this past week. But did you know what? I'm on God's heavenly track team. And I'm running a race. And you are on God's heavenly track team. Did you know that? You're in a race. You are a representative of God's heavenly track team. And he says, we run this race, and it's a personal race, for it says, you. Now, in the Olympics, I love the Olympics. There are representatives there. You ever watch the opening of the Olympics and all those people come in? What are they carrying? The lead person is carrying a flag of what? Their nation. Their nation. And all of them are dressed in their nation's colors. And they're representing their nation. It's a beautiful thing. And they all march around that big old Colosseum. Well, you and I are on God's heavenly track team, and we're running for God, and we represent Him as believers. Now, let's notice not only we're in a race, but the course on which we run. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, in the Olympic, in the stadium, there's all kinds of courses. But if you're running on a track team, you've got a track course. And on that course, there's lanes, okay? I don't know how many lanes are on one of those big columns. They usually about probably 7 lanes, I just imagine. And everyone has got his individual lane to run in. And they're running on that lane, and they're running the best they can for their nation. Well, on God's heavenly track team, there are many, many lanes out there. But you know what? You have been assigned a lane to run on. As a believer, God has predetermined and set before you a lane on which to run. You're running as God's representative. You've got an assignment by God. And as believers, we have that course, that lane for our lives. Now, that lane for your life is simply called the will of God for you. Have you ever thought about that? God's got a will for your life. He's got a lane, and he says, listen, I want you to run in that lane. I want you to do my will for you. Now, God's will for me, he called me to be a pastor, a shepherd. I'm called to preach. I'm called to study the Word. I have my lane, and I call it preaching the Word. For Timothy, he says, preach the Word. Preach the Word in season, out of season. You just get in your lane and you do the will of God and you preach the Word. And man, that's what I try to do. Everywhere I go, I want to preach the Word. Now, there's also many lanes, and God's got a will for every one of you. Some of you, it's to teach. You're called to be teachers. Some of you are great leaders. Some of you are God's call. I saw some men come down a while ago. That's in God's will. They're working in the church. They're taking up the offering. Now, that's a pretty hard job, taking up that offering. You ever try to get money out of a Baptist? Well, that's the reason we call it taking an offering. You almost have to take it. People don't give it. You have to take it. But let me tell you, every plan God's got, it's for you to work in His kingdom, work in His ministry. There are no exceptions. You are His or her chosen for the course that God has got for you, and you're lined up and you're running in God's lane. Now, it may include you to be a missionary. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, can God call me a missionary? I'm up in the years. Well, y'all remember Paul and Christina that came here, missionaries to China, not long back, Zach's friends that he'd met over there. He was an engineer, she was a school teacher, and you know what? After they retired, God called them to be missionaries in a foreign country. We don't know. You don't know exactly what God's going to call you to do, but when He lets you know, let me tell you, you'll know what God's called for you. Some of it may be vacation Bible school coming up. You work in vacation Bible school. Miss Brenda's asked you to do something, and you ought to be doing that. God's blessed you with that gift, working with the children, outreach there to that way. Many of you call to Awana's. We have a great Awana program here. Brother Dan's working with that. We've got the Beach Club. Man, that's a place that some of you, God has called you to work in that. Well, if God's called you to do that, man, do that. Work where God's placed you. And not only work in that place, the lane is there. What do you do in that lane? Well, you run in that lane. You're not sent there by your nation to just idly walk down that lane. No. God, as God's representative, you are to run the race. Some of you are called to the nursing home ministry. We've got a great nursing home ministry that's going now. Brother Bill and Brother Richard, they preach down at the nursing home. Oh, there's all kinds of ministries in God's kingdom, in God's race. And look at what it says. They run and they are running for a crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." Now, I noticed that in the Olympics, they run a race and they get a bronze medal, a silver medal, and a gold medal. And when they get that, they go up there and stand on a stage, and their flag of their nation is raised up, and they're all singing the national anthem or whatever to that gold medal winner to his nation. Well, the bronze is standing there and the silver standing there. And you know, they're all standing there before their nations proud that they've won those medals. But I've also seen in a few years, some of them sell those things. They get down on their luck. I've watched as they have let go of those bronze and let go of the silver and let go of the gold medals. Not on every occasion, but there are some that have sold them. You know what? That's nothing more than just a token of their achievement. And after a while, sometimes when life hits, those achievements fail. And people forget that they've won. But you know, that's a corruptible crown they run for. Things that will not last in life. But you know what? The Bible says we're running an incorruptible crown. We're running on God's heavenly track. We're running for something more than just a gold medal to hang around your neck. We're running for an achievement, a lifetime achievement, to stand not only before our nation, but we stand before God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our achievement will be everlasting heavenly reward of hearing Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You got in that track and you run your race and you've got the ultimate goal to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, folks, isn't that what you're running for? That's what Paul says. You did run well. Oh, that God might be pleased with your life. Each one of us, the Bible says, will stand before God. Now, boy, that's an awesome thought. You'll stand before God. You may not hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You may hear, "You've been slothful in a lot of things. You didn't run the race that I gave you to run. You didn't run well." You see, it says, "Ye ran well." There's a race, and it's a personal race for each one of us. How are you running that race this morning? Now, the second thing I want you to look at, it was a properly run race. There's a second word, well. You ran well. That simply means you did run well. You did run good at one time. At one time, you were running well. You were properly running the race. You were in your lane, and you were doing the will of God in your life. You was focused on God. You see, if we're going to run a properly run race this morning, you have to have a focused life. Have you ever thought about that? A focused life. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, "I therefore so run," Paul says, "not as uncertainty." He says, "I therefore so fight," not as one that just beats the air, but he says, "I run focused on God." Paul says, I'm running with a purpose in my life. Now, think about your life. Only you can answer this. Are you running this morning with purpose in your life? See, if you're not running with purpose in your life, you're just out there, like he says, you're beating the air. You're not getting anywhere. You're just starting to run, but you're not focused. You don't know where you're going. You're totally going at the wrong speed, at the wrong rate. You're probably out of God's will if you're not focused on Him. When you're focused, you're totally committed to be the best you can. And that's why I like the Olympics. Those people who run for the nation, they're totally focused, man. They've got their eyes on a prize. They know where they're going. A runner trains and trains. He eats properly. He stays on the proper food. That's the way a spiritual, heavenly run race is going to have to be. You've got your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. You're eating of the bread of life. You're drinking from the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You're focused on Him. You're always running for Him. As God's runners, we should want to run well, shouldn't we? If we are Christians and we are believers in Christ, it should be our purpose to run very well for our God. Living the Christian life can't be just a Sunday time. It's got to be all week long, folks. It's got to be focused upon Jesus Christ. It has to be a 7-day-a-week affair with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't treat the Christian life like many of you do. Many of you just come to worship on Sunday, and from Monday through Saturday, we're just out there beating the air. We're not focused on Jesus Christ. No, it's got to be a focused life if we're going to run well. Not only that, if you're going to run the Christian life and stay on God's track and stay in His will, you've got to have a faithful life. A faithful life. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us so run with patience the race that is set before us. That word patience means to endure or to persevere all the way to the end. You know, I'm not through yet. I'm still running. Teddy said he'd been running since 1980, I believe he said. I've been running since 1975. And you know what? I'm still running. I hope I'm running till, 100 years from now. Whew. I don't even know what year it is. I started to say 1925, but we're in the 2000s, aren't we? You know, yesterday when I was just a child, it seemed just like that. Man, time flies. Time flies. But you know, all my life, I want to be running with patience, waiting on God, focused on God, faithful to God, all the way to the end. But you know what? So many of us get distracted, don't we? Somewhere along life's way, we're running well. We start out properly. We're focused on Christ. We're faithful to God when we first start. But somewhere along the way, we get distracted by the things of this world. And that's what Paul warns about. Some of these people were getting distracted by the law and being circumcised and keeping the law. And he says, you know, you started out by faith. Run by faith. You see, I started out when I was 1975 trusting Jesus Christ by faith. And that's the way we have to run our life. Every day, trusting God by faith, relying on Him with patience and endurance. Don't get distracted by the things of the world. You did run well, but some of you become discouraged, don't we? Oh, preacher, I've tried going to church. I've tried the Christian life. You're trying the wrong things. You don't try the Christian life. You have to live for God. You live the Christian life. You don't just go to church. You go and worship God. and see God. I don't just come to see the pretty lights and the sounds and things like that. It's all part of worshiping God and just meditating on God and how far God has brought me. Don't get discouraged. There's always somebody that no matter how you're running, they're going to try to discourage you. They're going to say things that discourage you. Don't listen to them. The old devil wants to trip you up. The old devil wants you to be detoured, see? When you run, you've got to stay in your lane. You've got to stay focused in that track. You've got to run in God's will. If you take a detour, you're going to get off track. And you're going to be running around out there in the world, but you're not going to be going anywhere. And you'll be defeated. You'll be defeated. You see, there's no time for detours. There's no time to be defeated. There's no time to be discouraged. If you're going to be an athlete, you can't be distracted. You've got to run that heavenly race in God's will. For life is like a vapor, the Bible says. It's only here for a time, and then you're gone. And folks, when you're gone, you're either gone to be with God or you're gone to be with the devil. Folks, a faithful life, a focused life. But he not only says that, he says, you know, you've got to have a fruitful life. Philippians 2:16 says, hold forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run my life in vain. That means empty. A fruitful life is one that not only runs by himself, but pulls others with him. And you know what? Your life is either pulling someone along towards Christ, or it's pushing them away from Christ. I don't see any in-between area. You're either living for God or you're living against him. And Paul says, listen, that I have labored in vain. I don't want that in my life, he says. I don't want an emptiness. His race had not been without fruit. Paul had won many to Christ. He had been faithful to Christ. He was focused on Christ. The Bible says, even if it meant death, he was focused on Christ. And folks, that's the way we have to run. Even if it means going somewhere we don't want to go. Even if it means doing something that we think we don't want to do. We've got to run according to God's will. And as Christians, we are to run focused, we're to run faithful, and we're to run fruitful and productive. Listen to this. John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. I didn't write that down, so let me turn over here. I usually write it down so I don't have to whip through all of this. But listen to this passage of Scripture here. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. God says, I chose you and appointed you. Did you hear me? God chose you, and he has appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now, folks, we've got a job to do. We're to bear fruit. And that fruit should remain, that whatsoever or whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I preached on a sermon back in 1980-something, back when we first started the church. It was how to plant a Christian garden. I read that from an article, How to Grow a Christian Garden. And it says, if you're going to grow a Christian garden, you've got to plant 5 rows of peas. Now, those rows of peas are one, preparedness. If you're going to have a Christian life, you've got to be prepared for it, folks. You've got to plant promptness. You've got to persevere. You need a row of politeness in your life. And then the fifth one, you need prayer in your life. Folks, have you planted those things in your Christian garden, in your life? Are you running like that? Are you prepared and prompt and persevere, polite with prayer? Well, no garden, it said, was good without any squash. So you've got to plant squash gossip, squash criticism. It's so easy to let criticism defeat you. It's so easy to be critical of things happening at the church. It's so easy for you to sit out there and criticize me and Teddy and Richard and Dan and say, oh, if it was me doing that, well, it's not you doing that. It's us. So don't criticize. Don't criticize your deacons. Don't criticize your teacher. Get in there and help them. Plant that in your garden. And then indifference. Squash indifference. Then it says you got to plant 5 rows of lettuce. If you're going to grow a Christian garden, you got to let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us be loyal. Let us be truthful. Let us love one another. Folks, those are required in the Christian life, folks. And no garden is completed without turnips. Turn up for church, and turn up with a smile, and turn up with determination in your life. Folks, that's how you plant a Christian garden. That's what makes your life so that it gels, that you can run with patience and perseverance that race that is set before you. Let me ask you, are you running well this morning? In the race of life, are you focused on Christ? Are you faithful to Christ? And are you fruitful in the ministry? And then the last thing, I want us to look at this, and then I'll close. Ye did run well. You personally started out properly, but what hindered you? Paul says to these Galatians, listen, oh foolish Galatians. What hindered you in the race? See, a past testimony. There had been a time when they ran well. They had been a time when they were on the right track. They had been a time when they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were running a race. But now, they're running a poor race. And is that possibly a description of your life? You did run well. You were once faithful. You once allowed nothing to hinder you. The Lord's day had priority. What hindered you? What happened? You know, it could be that you're attending church faithfully, and that's not an issue. You're here every Sunday morning, you're here every Sunday night, you're here on Tuesday, you're here on Wednesday, but you're not involved in nothing. That could be the problem. You see, you're here, but you're not doing anything. If you stand on the track and you never start, you're not going to finish. Once you served seriously, what happened? You did run well. Why are you getting farther and farther away from God instead of drawing closer to Him? Are you like the Aggies that started painting? The first day they got the stripes in the road, they got 3 or 4 miles. The next day they only got 1 mile. They went into the office and said, listen, the guy called him in and said, why are you not painting? The first day you got 5 miles. The second day you only got 1 mile. And the third day you hardly got anywhere. He said, we're getting further and further from the bucket. That's from Aggie's son. But you know what? It's the same thing we get farther and farther away from God. We drift from God. And the first thing you know, we're not doing anything. We're just there. And Christianity kind of get to a bore. Why? God hadn't changed. He's still powerful. He's still active. He still wants to bless. But you have drifted. What happened? You see, a present tragedy is what I see. Who did hinder you? And that word hinder means cut off. Who did cut you off? Now, he's talking about running a race here, and it speaks of a runner cutting off another one. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you? Well, we know. In 1982, I know who's around in 1982. 1982 at the Olympics, there was the fastest woman alive. Anybody know who that was? Mary Decker. She was fastest in anywhere from the 300 to the 3,000 or 10,000 in Olympic running. Mary Decker. She ran and she ran well. 1982, she was running, and you know, after they make that first lap, then they kind of bunch up, and they got all kind of bunched up. And as they were coming down towards the end, she was supposed to win. But there was a woman in front of her. I believe her name was Zula Bund. Anyhow, she's from South Africa running for Great Britain. Mary Decker stepped on her foot. She tripped and fell. She never really ran seriously again because of her injuries. If you remember that story, she blamed Zola, I believe is the name. She blamed her for cutting her off. All that went round and round in the Olympics, Mary Decker, the one that was going to win, was tripped up by this Lele Zola. But when it was all said and done, years later, Mary Decker confessed up. She said, I didn't fall because she tripped me. I just wasn't used to running in a pack like that. She tripped herself. Folks, that's the way we are many times in our life. When we start running a race, we run fine for a while in our own line. But when the world presses in on us so many times, what hinders us? What cuts us off? We get distracted. We get out of the will of God. And it keeps us from competing. She never really competed. 1988 Olympics or 1992. She never really competed again. Paul said, Galatians, you ran well, but you have allowed someone to cut you off. You've allowed someone to trip you up, and you're not running properly anymore. Let me ask you that question again. You did run well. What has hindered you? What's hindered you? Now, if you're in the race, which as a believer we all are, we're personally in that race. We're on God's heavenly track. How are you running this morning? You should be running focused. You should be running faithful. And you should be running fruitful. And if you're not, what has hindered you? I'm going to give you an invitation. If you're lost and you've never received Jesus Christ, here's what you need to do. You're not in the race yet. You're going the other way. You're not in the heavenly race. You need to be, because if you don't get in the heavenly race, you're going to be racing towards the devil and all eternity lost. You need to, by faith, simply say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. He died for us on the Calvary's cross. Would you accept him by faith? Simply faith. Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life. He says the moment you cry out to him, he will come in. And he will seal you. And you can get started on that race. You run your race focused. You run your race faithful. Don't get hindered. Maybe you started that race, and at one time you were running good, but something has distracted you. You know what the Bible says? God is faithful. If we confess, he is faithful. You know what he wants to do? I believe literally he wants to pick you up, get you back in the right track again, and say, go. Get on with the race. Forget the past. Get on with the future. Get back in. You see, we're going to have a revival here in a few weeks. Revival is for Christians. That's what it means. Revive our life. We need to be revived, don't we? I need it every day, folks. I don't know how we can go all week long without even reading our Bible. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to be focused on God every day. And, you know, I want that in my life. We need that. If you need that, you want to get back on the right track, you come and kneel at the front and say, Lord, I want to get back on the right track with you. Oh, you'll feel so relieved. I don't care what you've done. Whatever, God says, I'm faithful to forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here and you're visiting with us, and this is a place God's led you. You need to join in with a church. Why? You need to fellowship. And we need you to fellowship with. Would you come and join in? Whatever decision you need to make, as Brother Teddy comes, in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And then you come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that we have an opportunity this morning to come and get back on the right track and get going again. And Lord, I need it, and I know that all of us need to get on that right track. We need to run that race focused on you. And Lord, this morning, whatever decision needs to be made, and Lord, I know there's decisions need to be made here. Would we come, humbly come, and say, I want to start over. I want to get right. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.